I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports to the Max is on the air. Cold and chilly outside, must be hockey season. When I think of hockey season, there's lots of people in my network that I think of, and I always think of Mike McMillan because he's been coaching this game for a long time, a lot of different places, been the president of the Coaches Association, coach in college, coach in high school, and he's always plugged into whatever's going on, high school hockey, college hockey. And kind of an apropos time to talk about some of the issues that have been, we've been talking about safety a lot, and there's a piece done in the Star Tribune, and I said, we got to talk about this a little bit with Big Mac, because he always has his finger on the pulse of it. Mike, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Maxie. Thanks for having me.
You know, we were just talking about Jack Jablonski and the famous injury and all that went with it over the last several years. And at the time, they talked about stop signs, the ways they were going to help prevent injuries. And what have we seen, Mike? That you were on the forefront. You saw it at the time. Some legislation changed, et cetera. But as we talk about making the game safer, what did that one incident have to do, and what effect has it had, ripple effect has it had on Minnesota hockey?
Well, I think it's had a major effect on hockey across the country, not just in Minnesota, but I'm a big believer in crisis creates change, and let's hope we make positive change. And I think in this situation, out of that crisis arose change that I think that's helped our game at the high school level. I think it's brought it to the forefront at a national level. So I think it's done a lot of things, but in particular in Minnesota, I think our game has become better because of the changes that were made immediately after the hit. A lot of the cooperative work that was done with the Coaches Association, the High School League, and the Referees Associations around the state was almost remarkable how people came together and were able to get after it.
One of the problems when you have something like that is it's hard to measure when you're doing preventive medicine. In other words, when an injury doesn't occur because somebody holds up all those things, that's wonderful. It's just hard to measure it sometimes. How do you use kind of a mathematical equation to say, okay, we're getting better?
Well, I think the Tribune did probably as best that we can. They really looked at the outcome measures of, you know, where we were, where we've been, and then what are the last, I think was really telling was the last 3 years of the statistics of, so I think it was how they did it and looking at the outcomes is probably the best way that you can do that. Because, you know, it's a contact sport and it's moving and there's a lot of moving parts to it. You're not making widgets, right? You got a lot of human elements involved in our game.
You know, Mike, the other thing, though, and you can talk about a wide range of topics regarding hockey, is you went to work along with Ken Pauley and others years ago to say, how can we keep kids playing high school hockey as opposed to going to juniors? Now, some are still going to juniors, but you had a pretty profound effect, didn't you, by adding the Elite League, longer games, more games for the high school season. It seems to me that we're, again, seeing most of the good players play high school.
I've talk to you about it, and I believe that if we keep doing the best job possible in high school hockey, we do the best job possible in our communities, you know, we'll provide that development that's necessary for the athletes. And with the Elite League and the high performance in the spring and in the pinnacle our high school season and the wonderful job our coaches do, as long as we keep providing a good product for the athletes, and we provide a path to the future, and we've done that. I think we'll continue to stay strong, and kids will have a good option of just staying in their high school and their community and being successful.
You know, the junior leagues are something, and you feel it at the college level where you are in Hamline University and beyond the MIAC. It's amazing to me that the high percentage of players that are now in the MIAC went and played juniors first. Never used to be that way in the 80s and 90s. How did that evolve? Was it just because kids wanted to play so bad that they said, I'll do anything to make a roster? How did we end up there where kids are willing to do that to enter a non-scholarship program?
Well, I think kids are playing junior hockey because I think they're not sure. They don't know. Uh-huh. They want an opportunity to play Division One. They want to play at the highest level possible.
Whoops, you there, Mike?
It's not us saying they have to. I think it's because of the circumstances, and they have an opportunity to play beyond high school, and they're giving it a shot. And I think we've become the recipients of that. So I think it's probably been a win for us in some respects.
Can you hear me okay, Mike?
I can hear you now.
Yep. There was a couple of beeps there. I thought you were pressing through our prompts to get to my voicemail or something. The USHL, the different junior leagues, somebody asked me the other day, differentiate. USHL is kind of at the top of the food chain, right?
Yeah, it's an unbelievable league, and they continue to produce a lot of great hockey players. And, I think the top Minnesota kids are, making a path to the USHL, and I think it's an important development path for them. And, a number of those players, as we know, are going to Division I, and we would hope a couple of them come to Hamlin, though, too.
How have you enjoyed the MIAC?
It's awesome. We're playing River Falls tonight, so we have a mixed schedule with the WIAC schools. But, it's an unbelievable level of hockey. It keeps getting better. Our coaching staffs are probably some of the best in the country. It's just been a great experience. And, the league is full of Minnesota high school hockey players, and we hope that's where they choose to come.
How do you guys go about putting out a recruiting plan in terms of, I mentioned the junior leagues and whatnot? Do they come to you? Do you need to find them? What happens?
We need to find them. I mean, it's probably no different than Division I. We have me and Coach Leyland and our staff have a recruiting plan. We watch players over a couple-year period of time. We tend to focus on them, towards the end of their junior career. We let them play it out, but we make sure that we're a viable option for them. But we watch them on video. We watch them in person. We do background checks on them. We make sure they have good character and they fit into our program.
And they got to be good students.
They have to be good students. I think, you look at character, athleticism, of course, their hockey ability, and also academics are extremely important. And as you know, as an alum, Hamlin's a great university for very intelligent individuals.
That's a good way of putting it. I like that, man. That's a bumper sticker there. Hey, the Tria rink, you guys practice there now. It's a home rink. What's that meant to you?
It's unbelievable. I mean, to be in the same facility as the Wild, the ice is great. Our locker room facilities are phenomenal. The experience for the athlete, I think, is second to none in Division III. And it's been a great move for us, a great move for the institution. And, really, really excited to be there.
Hey, plus, you got right downstairs, you can get a donut, a cup of coffee, and head over to Walgreens there and pick up an ointment if you need it.
We got Tim Hortons right in the building.
Yeah.
That's a hockey place, right?
Yeah, for sure. When you see the Wild is just filled with Minnesota players right now, across the board, our connections, Parisi, obviously, Suter and Stalock and Brown, and I mean, the list goes on and on. Seeler, what does that do for hockey in Minnesota when you can see that many playing at the highest level?
Well, I think it helps a lot. I mean, the kids playing college hockey, the kids playing pros from Minnesota, it gives
back and driver seat.
Well, be careful there, Mike.
It gives us a path. It gives us a path for those players. In the car, Maxie. We're in the car.
What did it tell you? That your tank is almost empty or what?
No, just busy. Just running from one thing to the next hockey season. But back to the Wild, though. Kids being able to strive to play for the Wild. I mean, it's like when the North Stars were here, right? But I think it's different. I think it's closer now for the athlete, and the hockey world is smaller. So it's a great opportunity. They get to see it. Hopefully the hockey community is filling the stands there. And, Matt Maka says it best. Minnesota is supposed to be Mike's the pros, and I think we truly can say that for our athletes.
All right. You go back to whatever that car tells you to do, you do, Mike. But thanks for giving us some time tonight. Always enjoy visiting with you.
Okay, thanks, Maxie.
You bet. Nice stuff to Mike McMillan. Nice stuff to spend some time with us. Always fun to talk hockey with Big Mac because he can cover all the issues and at the same time be reminded to roll up his window. For sure. Sports the Max is the show. It just doesn't it feel like it's about to get really cold? It's all right. We got you covered. Paling Brothers. What a story they've been from Lakeville to St. Cloud State, number one team in the country. They'll join us around 7:35. At least one of them will, but the other two are in the same apartment, so who knows? Maybe we'll have some... but they don't have it like they used to. I'm sure everybody's got their own cell phone. It used to be, Well, here I go again. You just pick up the other phone in the other room, and both of you could talk to grandma at the same time, you know? And so in your house, if you had the extra phone, my house, I think, started with just one phone. Then eventually we had, you know, like three by then. But if somebody was on the other line, you just pick up the phone. If you're really quiet, you can listen to the conversation. You can't do that anymore because everybody's got their own cell phone. I don't think anybody has hard lines like that. Anyway, just another thought. Sports to the Max, WCCO. Stay with us. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Anyway, it just feels like it's going to get cold outside. The somebody was asking me the other day about sports in Minnesota and how they've expanded and how the high school sports in Minnesota have expanded. Many people don't know the origins or how the genesis of how you expand sports at the high school level. And it kind of bears repeating because there are people out there that think they have good ideas. They don't know how to go through the process. The real goal, and really exemplified by Dave Stead when he was in there as the executive director of the Minnesota State High School League, the real goal is, if you're going to measure yourself from the high school league's vantage point, it is the number of participants that you have. You can only name so many champions. You can only have so many different sections. You can only have so many state tournaments, all those things. You can expand the classes and all that stuff. But the name of the game is participation. That's how they measure themselves. How many people can we get participating in a sport? Period. So if you want to, and you come up with an idea to create a sport, you don't have to create a sport. You have to maybe find a sport and bring it to the high school league. The first thing that you want to do is get numbers. That's why trap shooting is a sport. Because they offered it at one school, two schools, whatever it was, and they couldn't believe how many people signed up for it. And it started to grow really exponentially. And now they have this huge tournament at the end of the year in Alexandria, and it's unbelievable. That's because they took an idea and they went with it. So you start it there, and then you show an interest in it. And you want it to be an interest that will sustain itself. And what I mean by that is you want it to be something that's not just popular right now, but that you can see a future in it, that you can see 5 years from now this is still going to be big. We had Hugh McCutcheon and Walt Weaver in last week talking about boys volleyball. Well, boys volleyball makes all the sense in the world. Why would you not have boys volleyball in Minnesota or any other state? It's a layup. These guys, they train, a lot of guys know how to play volleyball. All that stuff. And so why not have volleyball for high school boys, volleyball players for high school? So they work on it now. Last year they put together a spring sport and they get the numbers up and then they have gym space in the spring and, there's no reason that this can't be a success. And you make it a club sport, and then you go apply to Minnesota State High School League. You show them that there's an interest in it, and you work from there. They've also right now in the works is fishing. And these teams get together, and they have these fishing tournaments. And really, it's the perfect timing because technology is now at a place where you can have some really fun tournaments in that you can communicate with the boats. And you can let them know, as opposed to everybody goes out and fishes for 2 hours, comes back. You take your top six fish, you weigh them, and then the weigh-in, you determine the champion. You can still do that. But now you can do it in real time so you know how the other boats are doing and what you're competing against. And with technology, you can do that because you can have a tablet, a computer tablet in the boat, and somebody can run that. And they can say, you can videotape. You can use an official scale, and you can videotape the fish you caught and practice catch and release if you want. So, okay, we're going to keep this fish. It's 3.6 pounds. You videotape it to show what it is, and then you release it again immediately. So there's all kinds of potential for the sport of fishing, and that will continue to take off. The only thing that, and I warned the fishing people about this, I said, as badly as you want this to be a state high school league-sponsored sport, you have something here that most don't. You have the desired demographic of potentially big sponsors because they've already got it. The sponsors that want to make you a fisherman for life are drooling over the opportunity to get involved with high school fishing. where better to start implanting them with the idea of you need to buy this boat, you know, boat show coming up this week. Where better if you use this lure, this rod and reel? If you can get them at that age and keep them for a long time, I mean, they are a sponsor's dream. And right now, as long as you do as a club sport, you can bring in all the funding mechanisms from that. You can sell the sponsorships. You can sell the different teams can have advertisements on their shirts if you want. And I don't think they realize what a gold mine they can now harvest if that's the direction that they want to go. But there's something about being in the state high school league and being affiliated with and getting a letter for and mentioned, you know, it's kind of like official. The sport that I believe will take off as well next, that will become a state high school league sport in Minnesota. I really believe this will be the next one when they get organized, is snowboarding. Because so many kids now that are getting to that age, whatever that age is, are opting to snowboard instead of downhill skiing. I don't know what it is. They like the action, the balance, the challenge, whatever it is. They like to snowboard. And so now you're seeing snowboarding tournaments, competition, all those things throughout the Twin Cities and really throughout Minnesota. And when that happens, when you get that groundswell, and that might be an easy one to add because it might be akin to you have track and field. So you have a track meet, right? And you have the sprints, you have the distance running, and then you have the field events. It might be similar. You might be able to go to a downhill ski race and then also have snowboarding and kids that just do snowboarding. Maybe some kids will be able to do both. I don't know. But I think it'll be an easy addition for them given the growth of snowboarding in this state and throughout the country. You know, you go out to, I was out skiing in Colorado, and I go there often to ski, and you almost feel like of the kids under the age of 16, it seems like about 70% of them are snowboarders and 30% of them are downhill skiers, traditional sense that we know. And you guys got to watch out for the snowboarders, man. They come flying. But, I mean, they do the best. They're courteous, they're kind, all those things. They can go through the woods. They can do all kinds of things. But I would guess that would be the next, at least winter sport, that you see boys volleyball in the summer, possibly fishing and snowboarding. And I just think it's wonderful that this state high school league here in Minnesota is proactive about that and one of the best in the country at trying to facilitate participation, because that's the big win. Facilitate participation, the rest takes care of itself. Jack Palin is going to join us around the corner, St. Cloud State star. And, oh, yeah, number one rated hockey team in the country, St. Cloud State. Take a break, come back. Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Obviously, it's a family story when it's hockey in Minnesota. There's so many of them in this state. And certainly sitting up there at St. Cloud State are a few guys who know a little bit about hockey and helping transform a program while they pursue their professional dreams. Talking, of course, about the Paling brothers. St. Cloud State is number one in the country. That ain't bad. And joining us right now, one of those Paling brothers. Jack, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. This season, I mean, you guys knew you were going to be good, and you are really good. Any surprises?
Yeah, I mean, obviously coming into this year, we felt good. Last year was a little bit disappointing, so we all knew we had to work hard this summer. And, you know, when we all showed up to camp this year, I think we knew we had something special in the locker room, and we're definitely going to try to take advantage of that.
Was it hard last year? Obviously, Coach Motzko leaves, you get a new coach, transition easy, hard. What's that like?
Oh, it couldn't have been better. I mean, obviously, losing Motzko, you know, people thought it was bad for us, but when Coach Lars came in, he made everything so much easier on us, and it's been just a great transition, and it's been a lot of fun.
That building gets a rocket, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun to play in.
I don't remember. How did it go down for your family, the key to getting to St. Cloud State? Who was the first to come in? How did it work?
All three of us actually came in at the same time.
Did you?
I think Nick and I were juniors, and I think Ryan was a freshman in high school. So, yeah, we all just went on our visits together, kind of did the whole process together. We all knew we wanted to go to the same school. So it worked out great.
You were part of, you know, some might say the I don't want to say the last great Minnesota hockey. It is the last greatest hockey team in Minnesota in terms of what you guys accomplished that year at Lakeville. And it came at a time when we didn't think that would be done again, because the conventional wisdom was too many kids are going away to juniors, that you'll never have a really one dominant team because great teams are always going to lose players to the juniors. Well, you guys stuck together at Lakeville and you ran the table. And it was something to see. You know, people thought maybe last year Edina could do the same, and they didn't. And obviously Minnetonka ended up winning the state tournament. That's a very difficult thing to do in Minnesota. Take me back to that. That season, kind of magical season where everything seemed like every time you guys would play, you had some close games, but you always got this sense that, boy, Lakeville's in control of this one.
Yeah, obviously, it was a year to remember. We we won it all, and we did it in kind of a unique way. And obviously, going into that year, a bunch of guys on our team, not just us three, had opportunities to leave and go play other places, but we all just kind of sat down together and said, hey, let's do this. Let's, you know, give it a good run. And we were lucky enough to actually make it happen. And I mean, we had an alumni game over Christmas, and it was fun to just see all those guys. We all skated together and, you know, kind of just picked up right where we left off. And those are the times I'll remember forever. It's so special. And I mean, obviously, I don't think we'll ever do anything like that again.
Alumni, who are you guys playing against? I'd hate to be the opponent of that team.
Yeah, they're all ages. They're guys from, you know, 19 years old who just graduated last year to 45, 50-year-old guys out there. So it's good. We all split up, just kind of lollygagging around out there, but it was a good time.
You know, I saw Lakeville North last night. They won in basketball, and they won the state in football and all that. It's a pretty interesting school, isn't it? Because it's a big school for sure. But it's not the biggest of the big schools since you split with Lakeville South and all those things. And yet Lakeville North, for whatever reason, is good all the time at almost every sport, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just culture or what, but there's great coaches all around. Coach Boston does a great job with the football team. Coach Eitner does a great job with the hockey team. And Coach Oxton, he's my gym teacher. He's a great guy. He does obviously a great job with basketball. So, I mean, I think it just has to do with the culture and everything around it.
I talked to Coach Market today. He's done pretty well at baseball, too.
Oh, Coach Market, yeah. How can I leave that one out? He he did great. One of my best friends, Angelo Altavilla, he played for him, and he's playing at Nebraska now. So it just shows that, you know, they don't only have good teams, but they move kids on to the next level, which goes a long way.
Yeah, he played hockey and baseball, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, how's he doing in Nebraska?
He's doing great. He's going into his senior season, and he's excited.
Wow, he's already a senior. Wow, I remember running into those guys that was down in Florida. They were down there on a spring trip practicing, and I thought, this is a pretty good deal because they were down there at Disney playing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right after the hockey season for him. Yeah, yeah. And so I think people find fascinating when you have three brothers that are close enough in age and do what you guys have done. So take me back. What first memories of skating with your brothers? Is it a pond in the back of your house? Is it a what?
Yeah, my dad made a rink in the back of our yard. Ryan actually used to never like to skate, so my mom used to stick him at the end of the rink, and if he wanted to go inside, he'd have to skate all the way inside.
Really?
We kind of joke about it now, but that's obviously how he started skating. It's how we started skating, and he thanks her for it every day. And it's not like she's some crazy hockey mom. She's the complete opposite. She's the complete opposite of that. But that's just a great story. And we just always shooting pucks in the driveway, playing outside with our friends, roller hockey, whatever it might be. It's just kind of low key. So it's gone back long ways.
Well, like give me an example. Like let's just say it's a day in the winter, a nice enough day, and you don't have any hockey on your schedule. Are you guys automatically out there for a couple hours? What was it like?
Oh, yeah, I was out there all day. I've never been into video games or any of that, so I was...
Good for you.
I was outside skating on the rink, building jumps, going off on my snowboard, whatever it might be, but I was always outside the summertime, always running around the neighborhood with my shirt off and just screwing around with buddies, so... I've never been the kind of guy that's inside. I've always got to be doing something. And think that goes for both my brothers as well.
What's the best training you can do in the summertime if you don't go on ice inside? What's the best way for a hockey player to develop in the summertime?
I'd say get away from hockey. I mean, yeah. I see too many kids these days, just 24/7. They're going from one rink to the next and they get no time to just take a deep breath and, you know, go hit up the golf course, go to the cabin, you know, just forget about the stresses of hockey. So growing up, I played baseball in the summer. I really didn't care about hockey in the summer until I was about 15 years old and I really started to work out and stuff. But until then, I was always throwing around baseballs, going to the golf course, whatever it may be. So it was definitely a little bit of everything.
What about now in between seasons and the college season when, you know, the goal is the next level after that? What's it like for you?
My typical day in the off season is I'll get up, work out at 9 in the morning to around 12 or 1 and then go for a skate. And then I'll do that pretty much Monday through Friday. And then Friday after that, I go to the cabin and kind of just relax. Love to wake surf, love to hang out on my tractor, whatever it may be. So I just kind of work out, skate in the summer and try to play some golf.
So you get your skating muscle, so to speak, going, but you're not too worried about playing games or anything like that?
Oh, exactly. I mean, obviously, I got to just keep my body in shape. It's a good time to heal as well. But for the most part, I don't really play many small games or anything like that. There's not many places to play games at this level anymore in the summer. So it's more so just staying in shape and making your body feel good.
Jack Poehling is our guest. Now, of the three brothers, do you have similar personalities or is there a vast difference between the three?
There's definitely a difference, but for the most part, we're all kind of similar. Nick and I are pretty much the same person. I'm a little more laid back. Nick's a bit more of a go-getter.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan, he's kind of been his own person his whole life. He's been just kind of someone that kind of leads the way. If you look at all his buddies, they all follow him around, do what, you know, he says, which just shows what kind of kid he is. He's a great guy. Nick's a great guy. I just think that we're all, you know, kind of similar. Just enjoy life, love our friends, and just kind of hang out.
Now you three live together now, right?
Yep.
Now, you in a house or an apartment or what?
Yeah, we're in a house. We live with there's six guys total, so it's us three and then Jack and Sean, Jake Wallen, and then Matt Berger. So it's a good time.
So did you have your dad buy the house? And I mean, you could save some bucks.
Yeah. No, we're just hanging out.
Renting it?
Renting it. We kind of screw around, have fun. A bunch of buddies come up on the weekends because we don't live too far from home. So, you know, they're sleeping on couches, whatever it may be. So it's a lot of fun.
You get Western Michigan this weekend, huh?
Yeah, we had them last weekend, yeah.
Or last weekend. But what's been the – I mean, you guys have been on a roll kind of since the season started. The bumps have been small, it seems like, for you guys. Now, I know you had high expectations coming in, but give me an overview. What's the scouting report on this team this year?
I mean, I just think we're just kind of a pretty solid team. We're fast playmakers, have the gritty factor as well, and I think that's what teams kind of run into trouble with us is – we have a little bit of everything. We just wear teams out by the third period. We've had some slow starts. We had a few games where we get down by a couple goals and then come back. So that's one thing we need to get better at is just coming out of the gate hot right away. And it's going to be an exciting team to watch at the end of the year. I'm excited for it. I know we're just getting better every single day. We're trusting our coach, and that's a big part of our success.
What did you learn about the NCAA tournament? I mean, it's the one-and-done format, of course, the ultimate one-and-done. What do you learn about that? What do you take this year that, you know, what bit you last year that you take through with you this year?
Yeah, I mean, last year is just kind of a weird game. We thought we played okay, but obviously the outcome wasn't good, and that's how a lot of those games end. A lot of guys on our team this year were on that team last year, so the experience factor is definitely going to help this year. So obviously you just got to prepare the best you can. You can't take those times for granted. You can't take the seeding that you get for granted. And at the end of the day, you just have to work hard and get the job done. That's not what we did last year.
You know, there's obviously some great St. Cloud State hockey alums that have done well in the NHL, Mark Parrish or Brett Hennigan. But what do you think of when you see Matt Cullen still skating at plus 40? You know, he was in, at St. Cloud State when you were born, you know, playing there. And he's still playing in the NHL. When you see him, what do you think of?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we were actually in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, and you know, he showed us around the locker room and stuff.
Did he?
We got a chance to talk to him, so it was pretty cool. But it's amazing. It's amazing that he's been around for, you know, 20 years, whatever it is, and still playing well. And just goes to show that he's definitely takes care of his body, and he's done a lot of good things in his career.
Yeah, that's some serious conditioning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, and I think at some point you got to be blessed with genes too. I mean, you can't explain it all just by saying your condition, but you know, you certainly in before him, you know, Chris Chelios played well into his 40s, and they talked about how he'd always up his conditioning program every off season to stay with it. And you go, whoa, that's something. What did he play till 46 or whatever it was? I don't remember, but something like that. But it does tell you. And in this day and age, Jack, and I'm sure you get this with your brothers. I mean. Those bodies become almost machines, don't they? Because they're kind of your ticket to whatever's next in life. The minimum is you got to be in great condition and have all your hockey muscles working.
Yeah, I mean, obviously those guys I don't know how they keep their bodies intact, and it's amazing. You kind of cut out on the last bit of your piece.
I was just saying though, what you learn is, I mean, your body. If you want to play at the next level. Excuse me, like the Paling brothers do. Your body is almost like a machine or a robot. You have to almost treat it that way, don't you? So that you never want to, if you don't make it, you don't want it to be because you weren't in good enough condition.
That's exactly it. I mean, nowadays with all the supplements, all the machines that are available to us and stuff, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing that we worry about is taking care of our body, eating the right stuff, making sure we're in good shape. Making sure that our bodies, if we're hurt, get healed quickly. And, I mean, that's probably the biggest part of our game nowadays is, I mean, we have recovery days where literally all we're doing is rehabbing and stuff. So, obviously, it's an important part of the game.
What's the city of St. Cloud like right now? They get pretty riled up when they got a good hockey team.
Yeah, our fans are great. They've been great at the games. They've been traveling well. And, you know, I think I'm going to see a bunch of them at the Ralph this weekend when they play North Dakota. So
yeah, I was getting to that.
I'm sure they're excited and it'll be fun.
Yeah, the Ralph is something, and so is Grand Forks and St. Cloud and North Dakota have their own rivalry. What is that building like to you? It's been around a while now. It still feels kind of new to those of us that have been in the game for a while. But what does that feel like to you when you go in there?
Yeah, it's just a fun place to play. I mean, obviously all the history that's there, and they sell it out every night, so you know what you're getting. And I mean, we show up 2 hours before the game, and there's a line outside the door, so it's definitely amps us up, and it's exciting to play. And you know, I got some buddies going up there this weekend, so it'll be fun to play.
Well, I got to tell you, I know that you're playing the game inside, but have you seen the forecast for this weekend?
I've heard it's going to be snowing and cold. So
yeah, 30 below wind chills. I mean, tell your buddies to bundle up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we don't run into it.
Well, I'll tell you up there, you know, and this is a great thing about North Dakota. Everything's connected in that college. It's a wonderful place because the way they've connected the whole campus. But
yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it is. And you could probably get from almost hotel to without ever walking outside almost, you know. But that's the way it should be, though, right? We're Minnesota. It's North Dakota. Get cold. Go have fun, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Duluth's kind of the same way.
Yeah. Who is your biggest rival right now?
I don't know.
Duluth's the national champs. North Dakota's North Dakota.
I'd say one of those two teams. I mean, obviously, when we play those teams, no matter when it is, it's always pretty head-to-head, and it's a good game. So, obviously, we just focus on ourselves and try to just play the best game we can.
Mm. Jack, appreciate it very much. The best to you and your brothers and your family going forward, and congratulations on another great season.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me.
You bet. Jack Paling from the Paling brothers. and St. Cloud State University, nice enough to join us. Take a break. Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's take a look at our old Dutch athlete of the week, shall we? His name, and sticking with the hockey theme, is Wyatt Helverson. His sport is hockey. His school is Bemidji. His class is a junior. Wyatt was one of the stars of Hockey Day Minnesota, scoring all three goals in the Lumberjacks' 3-0 victory over Greenway and Bemidji. He scored in all three periods. The outburst gave Wyatt 17 goals on the season, but it was his first multiple-goal game. Congratulations to who? To Wyatt Helverson. That's who. For what? For being this week's Old Dutch Quality Athlete of the Week. For more information on all the Old Dutch Quality Athlete of the Week winners, go to olddutchfoods.com. I hate the cold, but I kind of love the cold because I love the four seasons. And I think there is something incredibly satisfying that you get out of living in a cold weather state that you don't get by living in other states. Number one, as I mentioned, the four seasons. I think there's always something to look forward to when you have change. If you don't like it now, wait a few minutes. It'll be all those things. I like the endurance part, the toughness that we get out of living in the cold. And I don't know what it is, but when it's really cold and you're inside and you're home at the end of the day and you know you don't have to go out again, isn't that a great feeling? And your house is warm and toasty. And you know it's cold. You know how cold it is outside, but it doesn't matter because you're there. Maybe you get the fireplace stoked. Oh, every night I go, I turn the fireplace on. I lay down there and I watch a rerun or two and see what I've DVR'd and listen to Al Malmberg. And I know, I guess I don't feel guilty like I could be anywhere else because it's too cold to be doing anything else. So you're sitting there and you put the blanket over you and you just, I don't know, I like that a lot. The other satisfying, albeit a small part of life, is when you get in a cold car and you transform it into a warm car. So in other words, tonight when I get done doing the news on Channel 4, I will walk to my car, hopefully not have a ticket on it, and I'll get in the car and start it, and it'll be cold. And I'm in downtown Minneapolis, right? And about the time I get 394, about the time I get to Highway 100, the heat kicks in. Where you can feel it, right? Then I crank it up as high as 90 degrees I set it to. And I get that fan blowing on high. And it blows that warm air on me. And I just love that. I feel like I'm beating winter just a little bit. Whatever it is, I'm beating winter to a small extent. And I love that feeling of that warm air blowing on my face. And being warm until I get home. I love getting up in the morning and going outside 10, 15 minutes before I have to get in my car and turning it on and letting it get warm. So that then I go outside and it's really, really cold. But then I get in my car and it's nice and warm. And you go, okay, this feels so good. I don't know what it is about that. Then the last thing is I think that most of us in Minnesotans absolutely refuse to give in and get beat by the cold. And I think that there's something energizing about that. When you go out this weekend, as cold as it is, you will see people everywhere. You'll see them at the mall. You'll see them at the gymnasiums. You'll see them in the hockey rinks. Wherever it is that you go, you will see people because we absolutely refuse to get beat by the cold. See, so I think there's a lot of good things that come out of the cold. David Hedberg and Jim Robinson just came out of the cold, literally. They'll be in the studio to talk Mr. Basketball and basketball in the state of Minnesota. In studio next on News Talk 830 WCCO.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.